you can share your screen and the sound, or you can just strictly share the sound if you want. Should have looked into that a little bit before, you
know, I guess.
About 2 months ago, but that's okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yikes, that one was weird. Hello and welcome to Retro Gaming Revelry episode 211.
This is a podcast for two drunken David Lettermans play retro games for your amusement. I am David Letterman number one. My name is Jerk.
And I am David Letterman number two. My name is Earl. And this week we're going to be a couple of David Lettermans. We're going to do something a little different this week. We will not be playing a game this week. So last week we were like, well, let's do our top 10 video games of all time. On the show, and Jurek and I were like, well, what video game do we play to go along with our top 10 video games of all time? And the answer was none, because there's just not. Yeah, we're just going to do the top 10 list.
Something a little different. Yep. See how this lands with people. I mean, we both came up with a top 10 list. It was
incredibly difficult.
Damn near impossible. I'm still not, you know, confident that my list is correct.
But no, I don't know if mine is either, but it is a list. I've got 10 games. I've got some honorable mentions. I don't know. It should be cool. Well, so we'll see how this goes. But before we get to our top 10 lists, how's it going this week, Drake?
It's going good. I got to go into school this week.
Oh, yeah, cool.
On campus.
How was it? Was it good to be back?
It was awesome. I think it was, yeah, a great thing just for like class morale.
Yeah.
So we can all finally get our hands on the equipment, and just good for my personal morale, period. Like, you know, I was just starting to get into the real meat of what my program was going to be and what I was going to be learning. And then
the
pandemic hits.
Kicked you out of school.
Like, oh, now you can't come here and do all the things that you were about to do. So it definitely, yeah, helped to like reaffirm that this is all something that's really cool to me, and I like it. And at first starting out, it was daunting getting into the lab for the first time and getting my hands on the equipment and manipulating and moving it around. But
so you,
I picked it up fairly quick.
I mean, you're talking about just like last week, right? You did this for the first time
on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yep. So like you got to, but even on day one, they were like, all right, push the buttons and make it go.
I mean, yeah, we had to watch like videos on everything. We were there for 4 hours.
Standard? Well, it's a lab class, right?
It's a lab class. So that's what this class is always supposed to be, is 4 hours. So we're split into, my class is split into like three groups. And then within those groups, we're split into even smaller groups. So
okay.
The two girls that are in my group, it's three of us, and so they will be the only two people that I am working with the whole time.
And do you like these two people? Are they,
yeah, they're both great. Really nice.
Excellent.
Two of us picked it up fairly quick. One of them, she understands the like what needs to happen. She just,
the technology is maybe a barrier.
She struggled a bit longer with, yeah, figuring out how to move the machine and get everything working properly in an efficient manner.
What do you mean,
which is
move the machine? What do you have to move?
Well, the whole, like, X-ray tube.
Okay.
A thing that you move around to get everything lined up. Because you're not just, like, taking a big old picture of anything you want or whatever, you know.
You got to
localizing
focus in
certain body parts. So this time we were in there, we're just learning chest and abdomen stuff.
So like, when you're learning that, or like when your partners need to learn, do you go in the machine and they X-ray you, or like?
No, we're not X-raying each other.
Oh, okay, I see.
We're not actually. We're just getting things lined up so that our teacher can see like, yes, they are correct. And if you, if this was a real X-ray and you were pushing the button to make it go, there, we at least know you have them positioned properly. They're lined up properly.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, eventually, obviously, we'll learn
how to.
Like,
do
I don't, I still don't know the like technical factors of, you know, how much X-rays do you blast at this person and for how long?
Okay. Okay.
To get the best quality image.
Right. Right.
But for right now, it's just learning. Okay, you can get them standing in front of it. Get them in the exact proper position efficiently and quickly. Get the machine all, get the tube all lined up.
Cool.
So that if you were to, you know,
if press you were to press the go button, yeah, it would work.
It would be proper.
Mm-hmm.
Which that, you know, normally we would be being encouraged to go in the lab whenever there's not class in there, like use
and
as
play
much
with
as possible
the machine
on our own time.
Right.
And stuff. So I at least like the next next time I'm in there, we're getting tested on the chest and abdomen that we just learned how to position.
Oh wow.
So we had 4 hours of practice and then we're getting tested on it.
Oh. Okay.
Which
are you ready?
I mean, I feel pretty good about my stuff. Like we ran through all we did what 6 different
positions. Okay.
And so we ran through them all once, and that was a little slower. But by the second time, me and one of the other girls got it down pretty quickly and efficiently. The other one still struggled, and that's where it would be nice if we could all still go into the lab
and
on
practice
the
together and stuff. Like, yeah,
just move it around, just get used to that.
But you can't do that because
no,
of COVID.
We're not allowed in there outside of class times because of COVID stuff.
Okay, well, cool. I'm glad you're learning.
It was definitely fun, and yeah, I'm glad we finally got in there. I'm looking forward to doing more and eventually, yeah, taking real X-rays.
Excellent. Maybe someday you can X-ray me.
I mean, maybe if you break something and come to the...
Oh, I was trying to get you to let us go in and play with the X-ray machines, but Jurek...
Well, no.
Just, he straight up refuses to do that.
Well, no. If the labs were open normally, you could come in and I could position you, but the actual taking of an X-ray is
you have
only
to be certified.
If a teacher is there.
Right.
And, like, you can't, we're not, even if a teacher is there, we're not allowed to X-ray each other.
Right.
X-rays like can only be done legally under a doctor's order.
Okay. So, like, so when you have to test, I don't know. Maybe we're getting too much into X-rays now, but like
I mean, we're not taking actual X-rays.
But someday you're going to have to, right? So
yes,
that's going to be actual patient, though, not just like your classmate.
Correct.
Okay.
When I'm in actual a clinical environment, working at a hospital or whatever.
Okay.
But cool. Not. I will never take an X-ray of one of my fellow students.
I see. Okay.
Unless they come in.
What if they have a broken arm? I mean,
yes, unless they come into the clinic or hospital that I work.
Okay, I see. Cool. Well, excellent. I'm glad your thirst for knowledge is being quenched, Drake.
Yep, it is.
Excellent.
How you doing?
Now? I'm good. I'm actually.
Did you take any X-rays?
I took 0 X-rays this week, and I plan also on taking 0 X-rays next week. So,
I mean,
so
like
just so we know where
I'm. Life,
well, it does. That's where I'm standing on X-rays right now, though. But no, I'm good. I'm off now. So I'm on temporary furlough for just a week. But I'm not even allowed to check my email next week, you know? Which is
good.
Well, it's good, but also terrifying because I'm gonna come back a week later and have fucking 500 emails to go through. But I don't really know what to do with myself. Like, I didn't think this was gonna happen so fast, but here we are already. So next week. I kind of want to like take a vacation or something, but also travel is, you know, not really advised, but I might just throw my tent in the car and go somewhere, you know, like drive to Yellowstone or something. I don't know.
Drive to Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like I might just,
that's more ambitious than I was thinking you meant when you said grab your tent and throw it in your car.
Oh no, I didn't mean just go down to the local campsite. I meant, I might go to Yellowstone, or maybe I'm actually thinking like the Black Hills. I might just go camp for a couple days and come back just by myself.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see if that happens, or I'll just stay home all week and stream video games or something, you know, for,
right.
for something different, but
for something.
But oh, yeah, streaming this week has been kind of fun. I played in a Smash tournament this week, which was cool. Well,
you lost.
I totally Real did. Quick. I got fucking wrecked. Jurek watched the whole thing cause I decided to stream it. Which was
That second guy you could have taken.
I definitely could have beat that guy. I was distracted by the stream. I should not have streamed the tournament. I should have started streaming after, but
yeah.
That second guy I definitely could have taken. But
yeah, the first guy, I'm not sure.
No, that first guy
kinda
was
he kinda had your number.
That guy was good. I could not get in on him. He was playing Corrin and I was playing Ness, of course, and a good Corrin is hard to beat, but you know, shoot.
Yeah, that second guy playing DDD or whatever.
Yeah, I was playing sloppy. You're right. But turns out I was playing sloppy that whole night because I was streaming later. But anyway, it was fun. Like, I love streaming Smash because randoms show up, you know? Like, if I'm streaming, like, some other game, usually, like, you might stop by and say hi and maybe another friend or something. But, like, with Smash, the randoms show up. And I got dubbed the Smash Grandpa this week. So,
I saw that.
Which was, I thought, actually pretty fucking hilarious. My beard is super gray. So, but, yeah. And, like, one dude followed me. And I was like, oh, thanks for the follow, dude. And he's like, well, yeah, I got to give a follow to the Smash Grandpa. And then the guy who kept beating me kept calling me Gramps, which was hilarious. Although I did beat him twice, I think, eventually. You know, like, it took a while. But I could hold my own with that guy. There was another – he seemed like maybe a young kid or something. Or like a teenager probably is my guess. And he was asking all the questions, you know, like,
yeah,
is this guy good? Is this guy good? Blah, blah, blah. And like,
I kept really hoping he was like a hustler.
Yeah. And he was just playing
us. He was just like playing you and like kept losing. And then all of a sudden he was just going to really like pick his main and just like flawless victory you.
Destroy us. But that did not happen.
It never happened.
And I like that. Like, I like being able to encourage people, cause I was trying to be encouraging to him. He kept being like, right. Oh, I'm trash. I'm so garbage.
I mean, I could tell you and the other guy in there were kind of taking
both of us.
You could have destroyed him probably with like 0%.
I'm pretty sure I would never even have gotten hit. I let him take two stocks off me. And so did the other guy. We both were.
Yeah. We weren't going to lose to him, but you let him.
We let him have
feel like he. Yeah. He could do something against you.
Yeah, which was fun, and it's kind of fun to encourage people like that, you know. But yeah, I don't know. And there was another guy today who was being so down on himself, though. He was just like, "I'm trash at this game. I'm so trash." And I'm like, "Bro, the only way to get better is to play people who are better than you and fucking lose like 100 million times, like." The only way to get good is to lose all the time. Like that's
true.
Yeah. But it's hard to explain that to people because it is rough when you lose like a bunch of matches in a row, you know, like it affects you mentally, but I don't know. Streaming has been fun. I've been having fun streaming Smash this week, which is cool. The Smash Grandpa now. So that's a little depressing, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, keep it up, Gramps.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That could be my thing, you know, like I'm the old guy who plays Smash, right?
There you go.
And, you know, I could hold my, like the guy who was super good, I could hold my own with him, you know, like he wasn't like destroying me, but you know, maybe a match or two, but I don't know, but it's fun. Let's see, as long as we're talking, I mean, I guess we've moved on to what we've been playing. You know, I've been playing Smash.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I guess I've been
give up on Dragon Quest.
No, I've been playing it a little bit. I haven't played it as much this week, but I am moving along in the story. Dragon Quest is very fun. It is kind of seeming daunting, though, now. Like, I'm at about 25 hours or so, and it's just like, really? Do I really have fucking 45 more hours to go? Like, I'm pretty sure I have now the entire, all the guys you get, you know, like all your companions. So, like, is there really 40 more hours of just this team? Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's like every RPG for the most part.
But do
I
you get
like
them all so quickly?
I guess maybe not so quickly, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
In like Chrono Trigger or something, you know. I guess you get Magus, I guess, fairly late.
And you get Luca, or not Luca, Ayla kind of late.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I feel like, yeah, Magus is kind of the late one. But
isn't it possible to not get Magus?
Yes.
Yeah, or like you have to like go out of your way to get Magus?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. He's definitely missable.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But Dragon Quest is fun. I don't know. I've been liking it. I also have, I'll talk more about it next week, but Duke Nukem 3D, or 20th Anniversary World Tour, or whatever it's called, came out this week. It was $5 on sale. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm getting it.
I should get that.
It's freaking awesome. It is so good. Like, it's, I've only played it for like a half. I played the first level last night, but I had a blast playing it. Like it was
should fun. Look into that game. I played a lot of that when I was younger.
And the port is top notch, and you can play it. You can play the remastered, like, they call it true 3D mode or something, where, you know, it's like, it looks kind of like a modern game almost, like, well, not quite, but.
Right.
But, or you can just play the regular old Duke Nukem, you know, from back in the day. And I don't know, it's super fun, and it runs super great. And like, it's crisp, and the controls are awesome, and the motion controls are super good. Like, I don't know. Cause I was even like, I use my pro controller normally, like with motion controls, I kind of want to use two Joy-Cons. Cause that just seems like, that would be guns to me, but I don't know. But with the pro controller, even like you just move it around and you can like, you can still use the right stick to get there. But then like to fine tune, you can just like move your controller slightly and just like, boom, get these guys. I don't know. Duke Nukem is fun. I'll talk more about it next week, but.
All right.
What have you been playing this week, Drake?
I played a little bit more of No Man's Sky.
Okay.
But, yeah, didn't really do a whole lot. I had a pretty busy school week.
Yeah, and, you're learning. You know, about
I went
X-ray.
Into school and then I had like what, one, two, like four tests.
Oh, geez, you were way into school this week.
So yeah,
okay, a little bit of more.
But
No
yeah,
Man's Sky,
I played
though.
A bit of No Man's Sky when I had a little bit of free time, just
so
playing that and turning on like a podcast because I don't really need to listen to No Man's Sky.
Is there interactions like do you talk to other NPCs or like
yeah,
oh okay,
I mean, little dialogue boxes and stuff, like it's not actual recorded like spoken dialogue.
What is your goal in that game?
I think it's to like get to the center of the galaxy.
Okay,
but I don't know, right? You're just kind of following the trail of this person whose ship you found or something. I don't really fully know, like,
okay.
Story wise I don't think they put a ton of effort into it.
Okay.
It's more about just the freedom to explore and kind of play the game at your own pace, do what you want, build bases, harvest stuff. I don't know that I'll play it too much longer. The game, you know, I played it like, I don't know, 15 hours or so, but the gameplay loop isn't super sucking me in anymore.
Right.
I had a few days where it was just like, oh, now I'll try to just kind of finish this and do this, and then, oh, maybe I can just finish this too. And
yeah, you give yourself later, little tasks. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the entirety of Animal Crossing. That's how you play
right.
Animal Crossing. It's just like, oh, I guess I'll do this now, and then you do that for a little bit, and you're like, oh, and maybe I'll go water these flowers and dig this up, and you know, just do like that's all it is.
Yeah.
You make your own goals, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that it'll keep me hooked too much longer. But
okay.
I mean, it was I'm playing it because it was on Xbox Games Pass or whatever.
Do you have the Games Pass or?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Right, that's like the best deal in all the land, right?
Great deal.
What is it? How much per month? Like
$10 a month.
$10, and you can just play pretty much
any Xbox
game. And you
have access to like not any Xbox game,
but
like
almost
there's a list of, no, there's like 100 some games.
Are there any, is it all Xbox One games, or is there 360 games?
There's a few 360 games as well.
I think. No, like, original Xbox games?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Cool. Well, great. What do you think, Jerick? Should we move on? Jerick, big news on the podcast this week, Revelers. So it only took, what, 3 months of recording remotely for me to figure out how to send sound to Jerick, and turns out I didn't need to even do anything different besides click share screen. It doesn't matter. I figured it out. I feel like an idiot, but
he's sharing his computer sound with me, and now I can hear our sound effects.
Yeah, and so all here, Jerick.
Wow.
That makes up for all the coins.
That's very loud and high pitched in my ears.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, the levels are probably wrong. They're right for the recording, and they're right. for.
I mean, and that's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to. Did we already do this? Let's get to our
we
top.
Did.
All right. Well, we're doing
now
it.
Now we've gone too deep.
We've gone too deep. Well, we're about to go deep. We're going to do our top 10 video games of all time. Now, this was super, super hard for me.
Not easy.
I made a list. I told Jerick, and we both kind of had the same strategy. Mine turned out to be a little longer. I made a list. My initial list was 89 games. 89 video games. And then I pared it down from there to about 25. And then from there, I pared it down to 10. So what we're going to do is we're going to do our top 10, and then we each have three honorable mentions as well. And the way this is going to work, we're going to start at number 10. And then I'll go, and then Jerick will go, and then we'll go to 9, and then we'll switch. So Jerick will go first, and then I'll go first. And we'll just keep doing that all the way on down. Did I miss anything there, Jerick?
No, I mean, I think that's it.
Well, this is the first time we've attempted something like this on the show.
Yeah.
So
be sure to, let us know if this is stupid or
something, more content something, you guys kind of want.
Because we kind of were talking before, maybe we eventually do. I mean, maybe then this should have been the final one, I guess. And we should have done a top 10 Super Nintendo games. Like the Avengers,
What do you? I see. We
I
do
mean,
our
like,
top
we
10
do a
of all
top 10
time.
SNES list.
Right.
Top 10 NES. Top 10 N64. Top 10 Sega. Top 10 Game Boy. Top 10.
I'll tell you
what.
I don't
even know that I would have a top 10 PS1.
No, I wouldn't either.
I have one PlayStation 1 game on here, but I never played it on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. I have no. I will tell you. Excuse me. All of mine are exclusively. Well, not. Some of the games are not exclusively on Nintendo consoles, but. The one, they're all Nintendo consoles for me. I had, even in my list of 89 games, I had two Sega games on there, or maybe three, but that's it.
I have zero Sega games. I didn't even think of Sega games just because they were never really a thing in my life.
See, they weren't really in mine either, and that's why. But one game in particular was, but that did not make the list, nor did it even make my honorable mentions. So.
Right.
Are we just ready? Should we?
Do we take a shot?
Oh yeah.
Before this?
Yeah, I think we do.
I don't know what our order for all this.
Yeah, I think that's right. We better take a shot right now, and then we'll take a shot. Instead of final shots for final thoughts, we do final shots for number one.
For number one,
even though I'm pretty sure all the revelers can guess both yours and
I think
number one
if they've
listened to
listeners,
one episode,
if they've listened long enough, we've both said our number ones
many times
last 210.
I really think out of the 10 games on my list, there is only going to be one game that might be kind of surprising.
It's surprising to me. Everybody, no one else necessarily is going to know what you're talking about.
No, but it probably won't be that surprising to anyone else either. I don't know. I'm just saying there, a lot of mine are not necessarily, I didn't put on there some tiny indie game that only I love,
Yeah, I will be curious to see what your list is.
Well, let's do it. So, but first, we're going to take a shot. And Revelers, as you may or may not know, we encourage you to drink along with us. However, our only rules are you are of legal drinking age and not driving.
Yes, please.
So if you're drinking along with us, raise your glasses. Cilantro. Woo. Okay.
All right.
Okay, here we go. So, I got some cool sounds. Ready?
Number 10.
Yes. Okay. Number 10. Here we go. I'm just going to start us off here. So,
start us off, man.
Number 10. All-time top 10 greatest video games. Number 10, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Oh, okay.
Makes number 10.
Number 10.
That is maybe, there's one other one, but that's the only modern game on my list. And I put it at number 10. As we all know, I love Smash. I was just fucking gushing over it. Like, and I specifically love Ultimate because that's the one that I'm into. Like, I did play Melee and I played in and 64 both. And even Brawl I played too. I never played Smash 4, but Ultimate is just so much fucking fun. And frankly, I've put a lot of time into it and I feel like I'm not terrible. You know, like I'm actually pretty good when it comes down to it. I don't know. I really love Super Smash Brothers Ultimate and just everything about it. I love the community is a little toxic sometimes.
That's just video games.
Yeah, but the
I feel
Smash,
like sometimes, unfortunately,
the Smash community in particular is in. Like a lot of people, like the Street Fighter community and the Mortal Kombat community, like the fighting game community at large sort of looks down on Smash.
It's just a very different style of fighting.
You're not trying to deplete your life bar, you know, like it's different. Yeah. You're trying to not, it's a platform fighter.
It's definitely different than your, Street Fighters and Mortal Kombat and those types of fighters.
Right.
You're
trying to deplete the life bar and then they die. In Smash, you're trying to raise them to a high enough percent to get them. If they're at a high enough percent, then you can knock them off the stage. That's what your goal is in Smash, you know, like get them off the stage and kill them. So, I don't know. Number 10, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. I can dig it. I mean, it's nowhere near my list.
I didn't think it would be, but
obviously
it had. I now have over 1600 hours in the game. So,
yeah, that seems fitting that it would be on. I knew it would be on your list somewhere.
Had to be in
for some reason. I think I thought it was going to be slightly higher.
No, 10 is where it ended up. I had it higher originally, but I tweaked a bunch and it ended at number 10. But
I guess it's also a very new game.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other games on your list are games you've been playing since childhood.
Like, pretty much all of them now from here on out, except for maybe one, but, all right, Drake, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is Tetris.
Tetris going on the number on the top 10. You're putting it on there. Holy shit.
I think I have to. It's such an important video game.
Well, I know, but personally to you even?
I think so.
I don't play it
a lot anymore or anything, but when I was younger, I played a lot of Tetris.
Cool.
Like Tetris was a big deal.
And like you were into like Tetris 99 and that, like
I played it a bit. I didn't get as into it.
Okay.
I probably could get into it if I played it more.
I played that game for like 10 minutes and decided it wasn't for me. You know, like I love Tetris. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. And I wasn't super, I prefer Tetris just competing against myself.
Now, is there
not being inundated with people attacking me and stuff.
Yeah. Which Tetris, like, is there a specific Tetris or does it matter?
Either Game Boy or NES.
Okay. Those would be the ones
that I played the most. I mean, I played a lot of Game Boy Tetris particularly, so it would probably be that one.
The Game Boy, nice.
But yeah, you know, it's obviously a super simple concept, but
Tetris is the best-selling video game of all time, isn't it? Or like the most popular video game of all time? Or
it's up there.
It's like the most. It has some weird like record. It's like the most well-known video game or something. Yeah, like
everybody knows Tetris.
Yeah, like
there's just been so many iterations of it.
It's, and some random, you know, some fucking guy. I can't remember his name, but you know, the dude just like lived in Russia and just like made this game, yeah, you know, like by himself, and it became a worldwide phenomenon.
Smash hit.
Yep.
That everybody knows. It is, it's simple to just pick up and play. Anybody can understand the concept and pick it up and play it, but to play it at a high level requires just, I mean, I've watched some, you know, just like chess, there are people who qualify as grandmasters
in Tetris. Yeah,
of Tetris.
Have you? Those guys are insane.
Absolutely insane.
Like
they have every single move planned out, like 10 steps in advance. Just like they know exactly what they need to do, and hoping. Okay, if I I'll put this here so that if I when I get this piece at some point, it goes
that
right
can go
here,
there.
And this
yeah,
goes right here, and this goes here, and they have everything. And they take almost no time to think about it. They get it perfectly in position as fast as possible and drop it.
It's crazy. Like, revelers, look up, if you've never watched, look up, like, world champion Tetris players. And it is. And just the way they play is insane.
Bonkers.
Like, I can't, like, I start on level 0 or 1 or whatever you start off on. And, like, once it gets to, like, 4, I'm fucked. Like, it's too fast. It's too fast for me. Like, I just can't do it. Like.
I know. That's kind of how I am these days. I've not played Tetris really much in a long, other than Tetris 99, but that's so different because you could be doing really well, and then all of a sudden 8 people are targeting you for some reason, and you, and now that I have no chance because
right,
there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
But yeah, Tetris, Tetris. Even like the music.
Oh.
Is fantastic.
So good. So fucking good.
The music was fantastic. The gameplay, so simple, but yet so complex.
Yep. Yep.
It's just a great game. It bounced around being in my top 10 or honorable mentions. And finally, I was just like,
gotta throw it in.
Tetris has got to just. I got to just throw it up in there into number 10.
Nice.
It was
nice.
A very important game to my childhood.
Yep.
So.
Well, there nice. We go. There we go. All right. Well, here we go.
Number 9.
Yes. What do you got, Eric? Number 9.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, we're right. Switching now. So it's your turn.
My number 9 is my most recent game on the list.
Ah, okay.
Recent release. Is 2018's God of War.
Ah, nice. Very nice.
That game surprised me on so many levels because I played God of War 1, 2, 3. I think that was it. There was another one that was like God of War Ascension or something.
Oh, like spin-off.
They were kind of spin-offs. They weren't direct sequels or whatever. They didn't continue the storyline necessarily. I think there was a PSP or a PS Vita like prequel kind of game or something. But I played God of War 1, 2, and 3, and while those games are good, and I mean God of War 2 in particular, like pushed the PS2's limits to the maximum.
Right.
Of what we thought at the time, like it was the PS2's swan song.
Right, right. But the God of War specifically that you're referring to, was that like I do not know much about it except for what you've told me. Was that like a reboot sort of God of War or
it is a sequel.
It is a sequel. Okay.
It continues the story of Kratos, the god of war.
Okay.
Whereas the original 3 dealt with Greek mythology, though, this one then takes place like hundreds of, because Kratos is a demigod.
Oh, okay. He's like Hercules.
Like, he's like Zeus is his father.
Just like Hercules. Oh my god.
But in this one, then it's a lot later, and now it's Norse mythology.
Oh.
He becomes entangled in that whole thing, and it just, the story was fantastic. It finally made Kratos a likable character.
Oh, he was unlikable before?
He was just, he was your generic tough guy character who just like, he talks like, I don't know, like Vin Diesel or something. Just like he's like growling and grumbling, like right. Everything. All of his deliveries and stuff.
But the new one sort of made him a person.
Yes, this one made him a person. He's a father. You know, your son is with you the entire time. It's a father and son journey. And yeah, the story was great. The world that they made is just amazing. The moment to moment combat was fantastic, like better than it's ever been in a God of War game.
And this is the one too that the whole game is one shot, right?
Pretty much. The camera never cuts away. There's never, even from the moment you press start, like the start screen is like Kratos standing there, and then you hit start and the menu just disappears and it goes right into it.
And you are cool.
And yeah, it was one of those few games where I kind of talked about with the messenger a few weeks ago, where when it was over, it was just kind of like, God, what do I do now?
Like, right. Can I really?
No game coming out. No, nothing's going to compare to this. Like this game, I can't wait for them to continue this new God of War.
I'm sure there's a PS5 version.
100% there will be. They left it, ended it kind of on a cliffhanger.
Is God of War, is that a PS4 exclusive or PlayStation exclusive?
It's a Sony exclusive. Okay, yep. Okay. It's made by Sony Santa Monica is the company that makes it. So they're a first party Sony game or Sony developer.
Sure.
And yeah, that will probably be like, I think when the new consoles come out, I kind of want, you know, obviously I want them or whatever, but I think I'll probably hold off on PS5 until the new God of War comes out. That will be the thing that makes
you get one. Right. Nice. All right. Number nine. Are we ready to move on? Okay.
Good to go, man. What's your number nine?
My number nine is Mario Tennis on the N64.
Ooh, okay. Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis.
I did not see that one coming.
Mario Tennis made my top 10. Could maybe
the N64
version. The N64 version. Mario Tennis Aces could maybe be interchanged with this one. I really debated which one was the one, but Mario Tennis for N64. So I made this list very personal. Like, right, these are my very personal top 10 games.
Well, I think that was
the point, right? Okay, good. I got a little concerned when your first one was Tetris and you said...
I think the games are supposed to be... It's a very subjective.
Yes, subjective top 10.
Not an objective top 10.
Yeah, and Mario Tennis on the N64, like in college and even before college, just... had so much fun playing that game. Like my roommate BJ and I, shout out to Beej if you're listening, God, buddy. I doubt it, but we would play so much Mario Tennis, like so much. And it was just so much fun. And you know, we were good at it. and
he's the only person I've ever known that's able to like hold his own against you.
He can keep up. Yeah. Because that's like same thing with Smash and any competitive game. If you have someone to practice against who can keep up with you and who can challenge you, you get fucking really good. You know, like that's just
no doubt.
That's how it goes. And Mario Tennis, the N64 version, we played hours upon hours of that game. And like a lot of times, you know, the entire dorm would be sleeping and me and BJ would be up fucking rocking each other in Mario Tennis. It'd be like 4 a.m. and we'd be drunk and playing Mario Tennis and just having a great time. So yeah, number nine is Mario Tennis. I don't know if I have much to say. Mario Tennis Aces, I was really into that, you know, it's a Switch game, could have maybe gone into that ninth slot, but that one wasn't the one. So, but Mario Tennis N64 is my number nine.
All right, cool.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Number 8.
Yes. Okay, it's my turn, right?
It is your turn.
My number 8, also a game from college, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4. And specifically
this one Tony Hawk 4. Thought was going to be on your list. So this... I wasn't 100% sure. I thought it maybe would have just made it to just outside the list or something.
It almost did, but I had to put it on. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 is solely responsible. Well, not solely responsible, but plays a big part in why I did not do very well my freshman year in college. I played a lot of fucking Tony Hawk, and I could keep a combo going for minutes and just get millions of points, you know, like just never fall off that fucking skateboard. I really loved Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4. It was the first sort of, and it's not quite, but it was almost like an open world Tony Hawk.
I think it was. Each level was
there was levels, but each level was open world, I guess.
It was an open world where it wasn't. That's why I love it too, because the other ones, it was like, okay, you drop into this kind of small area and here is a list of things.
And if you do them, you do them, but you don't have to do everything. And but Tony Hawk 4 was like, you skate up to a guy and he gives you a mission and you can do it, or you can decline and go do another mission. But did I put a lot of hours in that game.
Yeah. I mean, this was the first game, I mean, that I saw you get
into,
like, ridiculously good. You're maybe not,
you know, I'm probably not as good now, but
I think you're ridiculously good at Smash. Obviously you're not, you know, beating the top.
I'm not going to beat whatever, a pro. I don't think I'm going to beat a pro anytime soon.
It's not your job.
Right.
But Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 was like the first time you, like, watching you play that game, it was just like, Jesus Christ. I would play that game a lot too and think I was decent at it. And then I'd see you and it's like, oh yeah, 20 million point combo.
Right.
Okay.
No problem. Didn't fall once.
You've been doing this trick thing for like, okay, you've got 2 minutes to get the high score. Okay, you just did 2 minutes straight of one continuous
combo. Right. Yeah. And was that the one? I think it's that one where the if you were still in a combo, the timer wouldn't end. So you could keep going. Yeah, Tony Hawk 4, I don't know. I just somehow got real fucking good, and I really loved it. And I still really love it. Like,
I mean, me too. That's the one, you know, a lot of people are excited about the remaster coming out. I don't really care about those.
I'm excited about it because it is Tony Hawk, but it's not, it doesn't have the same mechanics as 4, you know?
If they made a Tony Hawk 4 remaster, I would definitely get down on that.
Yeah, the big thing that's missing is the where you chain your combos together,
the first one. I think they started in the second one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
They're definitely not in the first.
Yeah. They're not in the first,
but one. I want to say they got added in the second.
Okay. One. Yeah. Well,
and more refined in the third and fourth ones.
Right. Right. So number 8, Tony Hawk 4. How about you, Drake? Right, number 8.
My number 8 is Final Fantasy 10.
I thought it was gonna be 7 for sure. Nope.
10. Oh. 10 was the one for me. That 10 was the,
you played the that one when we lived in the townhouse.
No, this one came out in, I want to say, 2001, 2002.
Well, yeah,
I definitely played this at my parents'.
Oh, you did? I thought that was the one you definitely played at the UVTs.
Nope, that would have been maybe 12.
Oh, 12. Okay. Okay.
But 10 was for me it was the first one I ever played. Yep, it came out 2001.
That was the first Final Fantasy you ever played?
It was the first Final Fantasy I ever played.
You hadn't even played like the Super Nintendo once?
No, I never played. And I'll get more into this later on.
Okay.
Final Fantasy X was the first real big, deep RPG I ever played. And I will never forget the first day I ever played it. Like, I bought it. Our PlayStation 2 was in my brother's room. And I just sat on his bed and played from 8, 9 in the morning until, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, yeah. Taking breaks to go to the bathroom and eat lunch and dinner with my family. Otherwise, that first day was the longest time, even up to this day, video game session I've ever had.
Really?
Once I started playing it, it was just like, I don't want to stop.
Can't stop.
I mean, I played that game for 10 or 12 hours in one day.
Wow.
And I loved every minute of it. I still love that game.
Did you get the remasters or the?
Yeah, they remastered it on PlayStation 4, and I played through it and I platinumed it. Got every single trophy.
Isn't that the one? I think it's out on Switch too, right? Like the remaster.
I believe so. Yes.
Like it's the
It's Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2.
10-2, right? That was the first one. I always remember being so confused. Like, why is it not just Final Fantasy 11? But it's Final Fantasy 10-2. I know. I didn't quite get that at the time, though. That like each Final Fantasy game is its own.
It's its own thing. Yeah. None of them are continuations, and none of them have anything to do with each other.
Right.
But 10-2 does.
10-2. I know. Like
some of the same characters.
And is 10-2?
10-2 is meh.
Meh. Okay.
I never cared. I've never beaten 10-2. I've played a little bit of it, and it just never. It never did it for me.
Right.
But Final Fantasy X was always my Final Fantasy. I know it sometimes gets shit on by people or whatever.
Isn't that one of the most beloved ones?
It's still beloved. There's just a couple scenes. It was the first one to ever have recorded spoken dialogue.
Ah.
Some of the dialogue is kind of cringy.
I see. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. When I was, you know, younger, it didn't bother me, and it still doesn't.
And because, well, the first time you were playing it, you were probably like, this is the fucking coolest thing ever. These people are actually talking.
They're like talking.
Yeah.
And they have just these amazing cutscenes, and it just looks so good, and it plays so good. It's, yeah.
Cool.
Final Fantasy X.
Final Fantasy X, number 8. All right. Well, here we go.
Number 7.
And I believe you're up. Yep.
Oh, I'm up.
Yeah, you're up.
All right. Number 7 is something that me and Earl agreed on as kind of a cheat.
Oh, okay.
Number 7 for me is Super Mario All-Stars plus Super Mario World.
Okay. That was a cheat. I told Drake I was going to cheat. Because
I'm not including Super Mario 64 in with that.
This same entry is on my list, and I'm also including Super Mario 64 in that entry.
Yeah, I think that's too cheating.
Well, I don't care. My entire list was going to be Mario games then. And like, right. I wanted to just combine them all. Plus Mario All-Stars plus Mario World is one cartridge on the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
So like,
that's why I thought that is okay because it's one game.
I still cheated and added 64,
so
but
to speak. It's one cartridge. Yeah, obviously it's the greatest compilation of video games of all time.
It is. And wow, at number 7, I honestly thought it was going to be higher for you.
It replaced, originally I was like, God, I don't want too many Mario games on this. I'm going to pick only two of the ones that I want.
Yep.
And originally in that spot was Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah. Okay.
That was going to be my one from there. But then I was like, we'll just include all of them.
Right.
Like Lost Levels obviously would never be anywhere near my list.
I mean, I love the Lost Levels, but it's not top 10 of all time. Like,
no.
But 1, 2, and 3 are, you know?
Right.
Also World, also and 64. World. You know, I don't know. They're just like I don't know. I'll talk about it.
Masterclasses in gaming.
They are.
From gameplay to music to everything, they obviously are the most influential games of all time.
And
they
the
made
iconic,
what video I mean. Games are today. Like Super Mario Brothers 1 basically like single-handedly saved the video game industry.
Totally did.
Like, from Atari's utter destruction.
Without that game, we would not, we might not even be playing video games, you know, like right. without Super Mario Brothers 1, they might've just been an 80s fad, you know, like, but here we are with doing our top 10 of all time list.
And obviously, you know, I don't need to talk too much about these games because everybody, anybody listening to these, this knows all about
the all about them,
all of those games.
They're all so good. I'm actually surprised it's a little higher on your list or up, you know, lower.
I mean, they're obviously very influential games, but you know,
okay.
It's so tough to organize all of
it. Really is. It was impossible
as far as, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my number. What was that?
Number seven. So my
number seven.
My number seven is also includes a seven in the title. Number seven is GoldenEye 007 on the Nintendo 64. That game is phenomenal. You know, it hasn't aged as well as some games have. Without that game, we would not have shooters the way we have them now. And just the hours of fun out of GoldenEye 007. The multiplayer mode alone is so good. And then the single player is also so good. Like, you have to complete the missions. And that was, like, I think GoldenEye might be the first game, like, or one of the first, where, like, the computer was actually smart. You know, like, they I mean, not that they're super smart in GoldenEye, but you know, if you go around a corner and a bad guy sees you, they're gonna sound the alarm. You know,
set off an alarm.
You know, like I don't know, that stuff like never happened before. I don't know, it was so cool, and I could not. GoldenEye had to be on my list somewhere.
Yeah, and all the gadgets and like
different
ways that I feel like there were There were multiple different ways to complete a level. Like, everybody kind of had their own strategy.
Their own way to do it, and you didn't have to... What was cool about the single player is, like, you didn't have to go in order. You could just complete any objective, that you wanted. And
the higher difficulty levels had
more objectives.
Different objectives to do.
One of my single greatest accomplishments in a video game, I think it was on 007 mode, but it might have been on secret agent mode, which is the medium difficulty. But but I made it through the Bunker 2, which is one of the levels in GoldenEye. It's the bigger bunker than the Bunker 1. And I made it through that entire level without getting hit one time on 007 mode. Maybe Secret Agent. I can't really remember which one it was. But I was so proud of myself.
When you're escorting Natalia?
That's when you're escorting Natalia. Oh, and it's,
I hate that level.
It is hard. And especially on 007. Like, the AI is smart on 007, and they'll
not Natalia's AI. That's for damn
no,
sure.
Not Natalia's AI. But what you got to do, what I did is I systematically did the entire level, killed every single guy, and broke every alarm and camera, you know,
right?
And just cleared the entire level, and then took Natalia to the end. Like, so. I don't know. I was so proud of myself. I didn't get hit one single time.
Nice.
But GoldenEye 007, that's my number seven. Okay.
Number six.
Here we go. My number six is Mario Kart 64. I put it on the list.
That did not make my list.
That didn't make your list? Holy shit, I thought it would have made it for sure.
Nope.
Wow.
I love it, and I've played the shit out of it, but...
I know, that was the one, and I put it at number six, but that was the one I was unsure about. I kind of wanted to switch it with maybe one of my honorable mentions or something, or move everything up, and then, you know, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
But Mario Kart, I mean, just so much fun, just the hours of playing it, you know? Like, and honestly, it's the hours of playing it with friends. Like, that is the most fun. Like, and that's why it's number six on the list, because it's just, I don't know. It's too much fun. Mario Kart 64. I don't know. I don't have much else to say.
I definitely went back and forth on that one. Yeah. But ultimately decided not to include it.
See, and I'm a little.
Yeah.
And I also. I mean,
it's great, but it's your base, you know, it's a kart racer.
It is a kart racer, but it's the kart racer. That's, you know, like, that's, it's not just a kart racer, but I actually did debate heavily switching Mario Kart 64 with Diddy Kong Racing. Diddy Kong Racing, I actually think I played more than Mario Kart 64 back in the day.
I think I did when I was younger. It wasn't until, really, it wasn't until I lived with, like, the other, like, in the Robbinsdale house that I really got good at Mario Kart 64 and played it crazy amounts. I just, I mean, I knew how to play it and played it when I was younger and stuff. Fine, but.
Yeah, I think I played Diddy Kong actually more than Mario Kart, and
I might have too.
And at least single player wise, like multiplayer wise, we almost always played Mario Kart, but single player wise, Diddy Kong Racing, and that was up there on my list.
Diddy's great single player.
Yeah, it's so good. It's, and for a racing game, it's just like the amount of content for single player is insane. But yeah, my number six is Mario Kart 64. That's the one I'm kind of unsure about on my list, but it's there.
It's definitely a fantastic game.
Yeah. How about you, Drake? Number six.
My number six is a game we have played on the podcast.
Okay.
Not that narrows it down at all.
There's only 210 games to choose
from. Yeah, exactly. But it's Chrono Trigger.
Ah, Chrono Trigger. Nice. That was on my master list of 89 well, games.
I would assume so.
But that one didn't even make my top 25 list. Yeah. But,
no, this game has
been... I love it, but...
It is a fantastic game. I think it is the best turn-based RPG
of all time. It's so good.
It tells a fantastic story, and the way it tells it, it's all these intertwining like timelines, and while it seems like it could be super confusing, it's actually, it guides you through the game fairly well. You generally know what you need to do and where to go. The characters are great. Yeah, the story's great. The fact that, you know, spoilers, I mean, obviously, if you're a fan of this show, right. We played this game, and we played to the end or whatever over three episodes. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, the person you think is the villain for most of the game, I mean, he still is, but he joins your
party. He joins your party. It's like, so Magus cool.
Joins
We were just talking about that, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if Chrono Trigger was going to make your list, but I should have known.
As far as, you know, 16, it just, the graphics are fantastic. The music is amazing. Yeah, the gameplay, I love the, depending on who you have in your party, you have different spells that you can, like, combine, either double attacks or even a few tri-attacks if you get the right three people together.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. And, I don't know. It's
such a great system. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a really special game.
It is special. You're right. And the fucking... Three quarters of the way through the game, the main character fucking dies. Like, what the fuck?
Then you, like, continue on for a little while.
Without him!
Chrono.
That was unheard of in video games.
The game is literally named Chrono Trigger. And Chrono dies.
Chrono dies. I remember the first time I played that just being like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Is this for real?
And you, like, play as Magus for a while.
Yeah, and then and then the game just keeps going, and you're like, holy shit, that just happened. And then, of course, he comes back.
You get the Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, you get the Chrono Trigger. Yeah, you do. But, yeah, Chrono Trigger, you're right. It is fucking awesome. It did not make my list. I'll say it's not on my list, but yeah.
Made mine. Abby got it. I mean, the one she got me, not that it matters. It's a reproduction or whatever, but I've never owned the cart of it.
And
so now I own at least a reproduction cart of it.
Which is fucking sweet. You can pop it in your Super Nintendo
and
play. Awesome. So that was your number six, right?
That was number six. I think we are now on to... Wait, did I start number six? No, you're
I did
six,
with Mario Kart.
And now we're on to number five.
Number five.
All right. And I believe you start us off with number five.
That means I start number five. My number five is one of the only... This is my second game from the current generation of consoles.
Ah, okay, okay.
And it is Ori and the Blind
Forest. Ah, see... That's one I definitely forgot about. That should have been on my master list, but yeah.
This game blew me away when it came out. It was so good. I am not ashamed to admit that in the first 5 minutes of the game, when the first time I played it, I cried. It is sad as hell. It starts off and punches you right in the heart.
It really does. And then it makes you really care about Ori.
And the gameplay, it's so buttery smooth.
It is. It really plays well. You're
jumping around all nimbly bimbly from tree to tree.
quite literally. Are you drinking milk from a saucer?
Ori was the art style, the music, just all these components came together to form this just beautiful, perfect Metroidvania game.
Have you played it on Switch?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of people actually say the Switch version is like the definitive version.
The Switch version probably is because it runs at 60 frames.
Yeah. They upped the performance somehow on the Switch of all things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I played it not too long ago on the Switch, actually. This game I've played through. I played through the original one.
Wow, then I played Ori made your top five?
Wow. Ori, when that game came out, I knew it was something special to me. It really spoke to me in a way that, at that time, a game hadn't in a long time.
You needed it.
And it was just beautiful. It makes me want to play it again.
I kind of want to replay it right now, actually.
it was so good. It was a unique way of doing a Metroidvania or like style, like combat and stuff. Everything about it was just really fun.
It's so smooth. That's what's the best part is. It's just
smooth. The platforming aspect was just so fun and just worked so perfectly.
I
loved every second of Ori.
Nice.
Even the second one. And I want to I'm giving the second one a little more time, and I want to replay it because when I played it, it was still kind of janky.
The second one? Oh, they hadn't quite fixed it yet.
It kept like kind of lagging and freezing and stuff, which ruined what would have otherwise been amazing, super smooth platforming.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ori is at number five.
Number five. All right. Well, my number five is Mega Man X on the Super Nintendo. X. I went with X. This one was tough. I needed.
Yeah, I knew a Mega Man game would be on your.
There had to be a Mega Man game, and it was either between Mega Man X, Mega Man 2, 3, or 4. And honestly, 4 is the front runner because 4 is the one I had growing up. But I can recognize that 4 is maybe not the greatest Mega Man game. I mean, it is good. But Mega Man X is so fucking good. And just the amount of time I spent, like, beating all the bosses and beating the game and then, like, learning that fucking the Hadouken is in Mega Man X. Like, that was the coolest thing ever. And, like, to get it, you had to go through this level, like, 4 times and never get hit and do this whole thing. And, like, it's a task to get the Hadouken. But once you get it, it is so sweet. It kills every boss in one hit, even the final boss. Like, it's so fucking awesome. Yeah. I don't know. Mega Man, like, I love every Mega Man game. And really, Mega Man X at number 5... that represents every single Mega Man game, but at least Mega Man 1 through 6 and Mega Man X 1, 2, and 3. But, you know, maybe not like Mega Man Soccer or Mega Man Battle Network, which I don't even know what that is, but people love it. But I think Battle Network is like a strategy game, but I'm not positive. I really have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But yeah, number five is Mega Man X. Yeah. It looks so good. It's like, I always loved the Super Nintendo specifically because a lot of the games feel like you're playing a cartoon, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like it just feels like you're controlling the characters in the TV shows you're watching, you know, like, I don't know. And not that I was really watching Mega Man cartoons, but I've always loved Mega Man, and Mega Man had to make my list, and Mega Man X is the one that did it.
That's the one.
So, okay.
Number four.
Here we go. And I think it's me. Yeah.
It is you.
All right. This one might be the most surprising on my list, but it's on there, and it's number four. And it is Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Whoa.
On the NES.
Did not see that coming at all.
That has made my top five of all time. And I just love that game so fucking much. Little Nemo, like, I had it as a kid, and I've played it religiously throughout my entire life. Like, as a kid, it was so magical to me. I don't know, just like you get to feed candy to the animals, and then and then some of them you ride, and some of them you creepily wear their skin, and it's just, I just love Little Nemo, and I always have, and I just remember spending hours and hours trying to beat that fucking train level, and then once you do it, it's so sweet, and I don't know, Little Nemo holds a very special place in my heart. And
we played this one on the podcast.
We've played it on the podcast. Oh yeah. I don't have
that was the only time I had ever played it.
Oh. So. Well, that game, I don't know. I like randomly got it for Christmas or something one year, you know, like, and just it quickly became my favorite game, and that, yeah, I don't know. Little Nemo the Dream Master is just so good. If you haven't played it, Revelers, you gotta.
Yeah, I don't really remember that one. Much.
You're Little Nemo, and you throw candy.
I remember that now that you're saying it. I remember being like throwing candy and stuff.
Yeah, and like you feed the frog, and like you wear the frog, and your face is in his mouth.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
And you can
jump.
And then you can feed the mole, and then you can dig in the ground, and like it was just so engaging because it kept you know, you could get in the bee and you could fly around, or then
Werbies,
or you could get in the gorilla and you could fucking punch things. Like it was, Little Nemo the Dream Master is in my top five games of all time. I was actually surprised by this one, but it had to be there. It was the one NES game that just had to, well, there are a couple others, but that had to be there. Anyway, number four, Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Little Nemo. All right.
And yours?
My number four, I thought long and hard about this, but my number four, I decided above the Super Mario All-Stars games and all of those is Mario 64.
Is Mario 64. Okay.
I think as far as Mario games go, that one, I think to me was always the best.
The best.
Overworld and 3 and all of that. Mario 64 was just such a giant leap forward,
and it was magical.
Previous ones, and even though it was, you know, such an early, I assume it was a launch title.
No, it was, yeah, it was Mario 64 and Pilot Wings. That's all we had. Yeah.
That they figured out the 3D platformer. And even to this day, I feel like most games don't...
They don't live up to it.
They don't live up to that, you know? Like, I think I talked a few episodes ago or something. I got the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. And I don't like those games.
Mario. You know, it's not Mario 64.
They're fine, but Mario 64 just nailed it. And those games did not.
I will say... I included Mario 64 in my Mario category, which is an entry.
Which is still coming out.
I know, but it's cheating, but,
it is cheating.
If I had to redo my list right now, I would get rid of Mario Kart 64 and put Mario 64 in its place at number six.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it was so inventive, like the hub world that you, the castle and stuff, and all these secrets to find, and that each level you go into and there's different objectives to do. It's each level is its own open world, essentially, that you can even do things once you know what to do. You can do everything out of order.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just such a genius game. It still, to this day, it controls just fine. You know, the camera's slightly wonky because it's all on the C buttons.
But yeah, but it's fine. It's fine. It was like the first game that you could control the camera, you know, like you could tell it to go a little over here or a little over here or above, or you could look as Mario, you know, like that was,
yeah, you
that
can go in a first person looking view. Yeah. The Mario 64. Fantastic.
I mean, it is fantastic. And I'm actually kind of kicking myself now. I feel like a cheater. I'm a big fat cheater, but
like the other one that I'd give you, the All-Stars and Super Mario World, because they're all on one cart.
I know, but my entire list was Mario for a little bit there. Right. Like, it was Mario Tennis, Mario 64.
Whereas I made sure I was like, Mario Kart. Two Mario games are all that I'm allowing myself, so pick the best ones.
Yeah, boy. Okay. Well, all right. All right. Well, nice. Mario 64. Like, fucking, yeah, just magical. Yep.
Number three.
Is this you or me?
This is me.
This is you. Okay. Number three.
Number three is Earl's favorite game of all time, Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Kong Quest. Oh! Incorrect is what you're telling me.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'll give it to you. Donkey Kong Country 2.
You're going to give it to me because it's my list.
Well, you're right.
It is a fantastic game. Flawless from top to bottom.
I mean, it is really good.
A great improvement over the first one.
The first one almost made my list, but didn't.
And the first one is very good.
Yeah.
But the second one just took it to the next level. Everything is just so great about that. The graphics, I mean, even obviously with the first one. I mean, Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2 and 3 did things on the Super Nintendo that I feel like shouldn't be possible.
They shouldn't be possible, but they were. But they did it. Yeah.
Somehow, and they look amazing. The depth of, like, the levels
it's
and everything.
It's so crazy. And just the way everything looks, and it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's smooth and I mean,
Rare had their shit together back then, man.
I personally do not like that game very much, but
everybody who's ever listened to this podcast, knows that.
But I'll give it to you that it is, you know, worthy of being up there.
Yes, it is. And yeah, I mean the music,
Dixie,
everything was just so good. The introduction of Dixie Kong.
I always thought, like, it's weird when those games came out, like, you know, I always thought it was like, oh, like, even the first one, like, here's Donkey Kong. Yes, we all know Donkey Kong. And then I was like, at first, like, oh, Diddy Kong? What, they're trying to fucking, you know, shoehorn this character in there or whatever. But, like, these characters are classic characters now, you know, like at the time it feels a little weird, but they really grow on you, you know, like,
they sure
especially
do.
The Kongs. I think it's the family aspect of it. It's like, you know, like, but what is Diddy is supposed to be Donkey's nephew or something. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or,
I don't know.
So like his Diddy's parents are Donkey's brother, but who's that? You know, like, I don't know.
No idea.
And Dixie is just Diddy's girlfriend, I think. I don't really know.
So.
I mean, not just Diddy's girlfriend. I didn't mean to play Dixie like that. I
don't know. But yeah, Donkey Kong Country 2. Fantastic.
Donkey Kong Country 2. Okay.
From start to finish.
Well, my number three is also a Super Nintendo game. Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo is my number three game of all time. It's too much fucking fun. It's just, it's so good. And I remember, like, the first time I ever played it, I rented it from Blockbuster Video, probably. I don't know, some video store. and we rented it, and you had a rental for 3 days when you rented it. And I convinced my parents to pay the late fee and keep it one more day because I needed one more day to beat it. And it took me a weekend and 1 day. So, or like 4 days it took me to do it. You know, obviously not playing constantly, but I beat it by myself, no guides, I don't know. I felt very accomplished. And Super Metroid is just, to this day, I still play it. I just played it a couple months ago, you know, like I played all the way through it. Like it is just so fun. I don't know.
And it's a good game.
Yeah.
Not on my list.
Not on your list? I thought for sure it would be on yours. Wow.
No, that wasn't a game I really played when I was younger or anything.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, some of these games are not things I played when I was younger, but that was one. Yeah, I didn't really play that until fairly recently, even.
Oh well, I've played it since I think I was in fourth grade, actually, when I first played and beat Super Metroid, and have been in love with it ever since. I mean,
definitely a great game. I mean, without that, you know, I wouldn't have my Ori and the Blind Forest.
Exactly. Yeah. So there it is, number three.
All right.
And you did your number three, right?
Yep.
So here we go.
Number two.
Number two. This episode's going a little bit longer than...
It will go a little longer. Yeah. This probably should have been our episode like 210 or something.
Or 200 is
or
what...
Or 200,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, but...
But oh well.
Oh well. Okay, number two, is it me or you?
It would be you.
It would be me. Okay. My number two is Mario. And that just means Mario All-Stars, Mario World, and Mario 64. I fucking cheater. Yep, I'm a big fat cheater, but I don't even care. I love the Mario games, and honestly, Mario 1, 2, 3, World and 64 are probably the top five of all time. Like if I really am being honest with myself, but I had to lump them all together because I didn't want to make every single entry a Mario game.
Yeah.
So, I cheated and I added, I told Jurek I was going to do it though. I was frantically texting Jurek the last few days. Like my list is crazy. I can't do this. and finally today I was like, I'm cheating again. I'm combining 64 with Mario All-Stars and Mario World. And so Mario All-Stars just means 1, 2, and 3, you know, like those, they're all so fucking good. We just talked about them. I don't know if we need to talk about them more, but
yeah.
That's my number two, Mario. straight up.
Yeah.
Just Mario. Cause
fair enough. Yep. I'll give it to you.
All right. I know I'm a big fat cheater, but I don't care. There ain't no rules to this top 10. How about you, Drake? Number two.
My number two, again, probably would not exist without Super Metroid.
Hmm.
It is Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Oh, Symphony of the Night. Nice.
I think it took the Super Metroid like formula and perfected it, made it even better. And it combined it with RPG elements that you level up, you have currency that you earn, and you can buy things from like shops and stuff. It was just an amazing game. I didn't even play this like way back in the day. I think the first time I played it was actually the Xbox 360 version of the game.
Mm.
But it...
Nate, our producer, Nate Revelers, shout out to Nathan if you're listening. Nate played it on PS1. Like that. Like I would guess that for Nate, Symphony of the Night is probably his number one.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's up there. Me and Nate have definitely talked about Symphony of the Night a lot throughout the years.
Yeah.
It was just a really special game, you know.
I couldn't get into it.
So good.
But I think because I was trying to force myself to be into it. I don't know. I have the PS4 version or, you know, whatever. It's, I don't think it's a remaster, but it's just a re-release or whatever.
It's
a
re-release.
Yeah, but.
I played that.
I don't know. I got to a point and then just, I kept having to do the same part over and over again, and I just couldn't do it. Even though that's half of these games, is doing the same part over and over again. And
some parts get a little tricky, but you, at least in Castlevania, if something gets too hard, you can always just grind and level up and get stronger and then power right through it.
Castlevania 1 was on my master list of 89 games, but that was the only Castlevania.
There. Yeah, see, none of the other Castlevania games ever really did it for me, but Symphony of the Night, the game,
was that's
just
it,
fantastic. Just
number two of all time.
Great. I mean, it is the Castlevania that puts itself into the Metroidvania
category.
World is more so like it's Castlevania Symphony of the Nights that they are talking about when they say Metroidvania.
Yep. Super good. Okay, so we're at our number ones. And what we decided we're going to do before we reveal our number ones, even though I'm pretty sure everybody knows what our number ones are. we're going to do our honorable mentions.
We have three honorable mentions each.
And now, do we want to just say what each of ours are, or do we want to like do one at a time? I don't know how we want to do this. I
guess I don't know either.
Like I didn't really order my honorable mentions.
Yeah, mine aren't really ordered, I guess.
And in fact, one of my honorable mentions is a bunch of games.
Oh God!
But because I'm a dirty cheater when it comes to top 10 lists, I hate them. I never want to do a top 10 list. But I'll do them. Honorable mentions. I'll just give you one of mine.
Yeah, let's just go back and forth, but we'll keep it brief.
One of my honorable mentions is Donkey Kong, the arcade version. I fucking love that game. And I always have, and I don't, it's very simple, but it is so much fun. I just love trying to get that high score. I don't know. And I wanted it on the list, but I couldn't fit it.
Just couldn't find a spot. Just
couldn't find a spot. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One of mine, then. My next one, my honorable mention, would be Journey.
Journey?
On PS4.
Oh, wow. Really?
I really like that game.
Okay.
I play it all the time.
Is that the one you play for just a half hour at a time?
It takes like, or I mean, it takes me like 45 minutes or so.
Okay.
To beat. Okay. I mean, in your first playthrough, I mean, it's still short even if you don't know what you're doing. Like, I would be surprised if even in a person's first playthrough, they took even 3 hours to beat it.
Okay.
But it's something I pop on every now and then. It's just a feel good game. It's one of the games where if people say, you know, video games aren't art, I would point them to this game.
Okay. 100%.
The music is great. It looks great. Yeah. I really like Journey. I can just pop it on at any time and play through it in about 45 minutes.
Nice.
Just have a great time.
Journey. I should check that out. Is it cheap on PS4, do you think? Or
probably.
Okay.
We can try to play together.
What do you mean? Why can we try?
I mean, there is multiplayer on it.
Oh.
But you can't choose who you play with.
Oh.
It's like if two people are in the same spot in the game, they might get paired up together.
Oh.
So like we could each, I think it's the second level that you will be the first time you could possibly like meet up with somebody. So we could both keep trying to load into that until we know that it's each other playing. And then we can stay together the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And I can show you the entire game.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's do it. All right. Another honorable mention of mine. I'm just going to... Zelda.
Zelda.
Well, specifically, Link's Awakening, Zelda 2, Ocarina, and Link to the Past. I don't know. There's no Zelda in my top 10, but... Zelda is up there, you know, like,
right.
I don't know which one is the one, but out of those four, those are my four favorite Zeldas. And I think Link's Awakening almost made the top 10. That's definitely my favorite Zelda, but that's one of my honorable mentions is Zelda. I didn't have one specific one, but
gotcha.
That's how I cheated in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
But yeah,
My next one is GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. 007. Yep. Yep.
It almost was really made close the to list. Making it, but it made yours. We already talked about it.
Yep.
It's a great game.
Yep. Sure is. My last honorable mention, Guitar Hero 2.
That was very close on mine.
Guitar Hero 2 specifically, almost made the top 10, but just didn't quite. It's just nobody had ever seen such a thing before, and it was so much fun. And like me and Nate specifically spent so much fucking time getting good at fucking Guitar Hero, you know, like, I don't know. And it was like, it was cool because you were playing a video game, you know, but you were also sort of playing guitar and playing music, you know, I don't know. Like it was Guitar Hero 2 almost made the list, but just didn't quite cut it.
That was right out. That was probably the next one right outside my like honorable mentions.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah,
Guitar Hero 2 was great.
Yep.
My last honorable mention is Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Nice.
The first
nice.
One.
Nice.
Particularly.
Because you like riding in elevators so much, or?
Yes. Yes, I do. But I mean, it really, I guess if we're cheating with lumping things in, I'm just going to say the Mass Effect trilogy.
Yeah, just lump them in there. It's fine. There's a lot of cheating involved.
Especially because that was the first time, like, your progress story-wise carried over into each game.
Right.
Like your save data. So choices I made in the first one affected
things really?
That happened in the second one and affected things that happened in the third one.
Holy shit, I don't think I knew that.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
why that game was so huge. Because
wow. so, like,
there was so many choices to make and that would affect the storyline in even the second one. There were some big choices you made in the first one where if you chose one thing, something wouldn't happen in the second one, but if you chose another thing, then that would happen in the second one, and same with the third one where everything came together in the end.
Wow
yeah,
cool. Mass
Effect. That was really cool. It was one of the first games I played where that had that level of choice,
right,
which is why I think I loved it so much.
And you correct me if I'm wrong, Drake, but you like to play an evil path when you can do that, or is that in Mass Effect? Okay.
In Star Wars, you can be evil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can make evil choices.
Oh, in Star Wars, you like to be
evil. But in Star Wars, like Knights of the Old Republic, I definitely go evil, mostly because then you get Force Lightning.
Ah, right. Okay.
And you can just wreck everybody.
Right, which is fucking sweet.
Walk into a room and just shoot lightning out of your hands. And
yeah.
Kill everyone instantly.
Fuck yeah.
Can't go wrong.
That game's only like $7.50 right now or something. Like it's super cheap right now.
Probably.
I think Knights of the Old Republic or Knights of the Old Republic 2. I don't know. Never mind. But okay, honorable mentions are done. Right?
Yep.
Number one.
I can't remember whose turn it is. Let's see.
Me neither. I think it's me.
Is it you? Well, just go. I mean, everybody knows what our number one's.
Yep. My number one is Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
I knew it. So fucking good.
It was the game that got me into bigger games and stuff. Like, when I was younger, before that, it was, I played Mario and, some Donkey Kong Country and whatnot, but I never played... And like, NBA Jam and Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, just short pick up and play little games that didn't really have story or anything. And then Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time came out and it got me into, that's what led me then into playing like Final Fantasy X.
Right.
Which then I went back and revisited old Final Fantasies that I had missed on Super Nintendo. And that led me to Chrono Trigger. And
right.
It was really Ocarina of Time that got me into...
Opened up the whole world for
games me. Being more than just platformers or fighting games or sports games.
Right. Cool.
So, yeah, I really credit Ocarina of Time with being the game that really got me into more hardcore gaming.
Ocarina of Time was the first game, and maybe the only game, in my whole life that I pre-ordered. I probably pre-ordered others, but I remember that was the first time I ever pre-ordered a game. It might've been the first time you could ever pre-order a game, you know, I don't know. But I remember like we pre-ordered it. And then I went and got it, and that fucking cartridge was solid gold, and it was so cool. And no offense to the NES Zeldas, but it was a cooler gold cartridge than those gold cartridges. If that makes sense. Like the NES ones are like bright gold, and this is like a bronze gold, you know? Like, I don't know. Fucking Ocarina.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is so good. It did not make my top 10. It is an honorable mention, sort of. But yeah. So yeah, fucking good.
It's a fantastic game.
Yeah.
From top to bottom. Still holds up to this day.
It does. I should play it again. But and my number one, of course, is Earthbound on the Super Nintendo. there's no other game that could be in that slot. It was that one was the easiest one.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Number I'll start one. There. Number one, two, and three were easy for me.
Oh, see, like, even, I don't know, I didn't know where to put the Marios. I eventually put them as number two because they're just so good. But yeah, Earthbound, I am part of a small group that actually had it in the 90s, you know, like, you know, it became this cult thing, but back when it came out, nobody knew what it was. I'm actually fairly certain that the reason I had it is because it was in the fucking clearance bin, you know, at Christmas time, and my mom just fucking saw it and bought it for me, you know, like, you know, like it was cheap, and that's why. Like, but yeah, I got that game for Christmas in probably 1995, and has been my favorite video game ever since. It's just, it's so good. I think I loved it so much because I had never seen, like, a video game, an RPG. It was always like, you know, swords and fantasy. And I had never seen something that was like in our world. Like it was like in modern times. And it was just so cool.
Kids
and, like, and they were just kids.
You fight with a baseball bat.
Right. And fucking Paula swings with her frying pan and
Jeff
shoots bottle rockets, you know, like
new hats and stuff.
Yeah. And you eat hamburgers to gain life back and pizza, you know, like it's just, and the game was hilarious. Like, especially for a young teenage, you know, a young preteen / teenager, like, the fucking new age retro hippie. And I loved, like, you get to go watch the Runaway Five play, you know, like you can just, I don't know. That game was magical to me. And it taught me about RPGs. I am sure, I'm positive, for the first 2 years I played that game, like me and my neighbors would play it together, you know, and like try and get through these places, the whole world, and just couldn't. We just kept dying and we kept trying. But as we were doing that, we were leveling up and we didn't quite get that's what we were supposed, like, we just didn't understand that that's what was happening. And so, like, now we know, like, oh, if you just fucking stay out here and do a bunch of battles, you'll be strong enough to do this over here, you know, but we didn't get that then. And like, it just, I don't know. We played it over and over. I remember the second Sanctuary, right after you get Paula, that thing was the hardest thing. And the Peaceful Rest Valley is like the hardest
Peaceful Rest Valley was
ridiculous. Fucking impossible. And we eventually did
about it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Earthbound, number one, greatest game of all time. We did it, Drake. We did our top 10.
We
Holy
did.
Shit. We were going to do final shots for number one, which we didn't do, but maybe we don't need to do shots right now. Yeah. I don't know. I apparently have to work in the morning. So,
I gotta take my dog to the vet,
even though I'm on vacation. Oh yeah. Marla's teeth are broken.
She broke a tooth.
Oh no. But yeah,
she'll be okay.
Top 10 list. That was cool. That was it was much harder.
It's definitely not easy to come up with.
Your list was much harder for me to predict than I ever would have thought. Not that I really tried to predict your list, but I thought Mario Kart 64 would be on there for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I went back and forth on lots of games. Yeah. My list was an ever-changing thing.
Mine was too. Days. I don't know. Some of these games. Oh, I don't know. I wanted to do. I texted Drake earlier and was like, "We got to do five honorable mentions." And that was because I had a bunch of Zelda games, but also I wanted to mention Super Monkey Ball. Like that game was so good.
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of games right on the cusp for me. Like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 was right there.
Yeah.
Portal 2.
Portal. Oh, I forgot about Portal. And just before we started recording, I was like, oh my God, what about Batman Arkham Asylum? Like, or Arkham City. Those are so good. Yeah. It was also really hard for me to skip Breath of the Wild.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I had to do it though.
Yeah.
What else was on here? Yeah, I don't know. Just a bunch of, most of them made the list. Darkwing Duck on NES almost made the list. I love that fucking game. The Addams Family on Sega Genesis was one of the only Sega games I had. Uh-huh. And it's the fucking Addams Family, but man, I put some time into that game.
Skyrim was right there on the edge for
Skyrim,
me.
Skyrim, yep. I don't know. There's a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely hard.
That was fun though.
And there's so many games you love that
Animal Crossing
don't quite make it.
Yeah, like the original Animal Crossing on GameCube almost made my list. New Horizons was on my big list, but
right,
didn't really count. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That was fun. That was fun. And now Indeed. We're at an hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah, here. I know.
Long episode. This is our longest one ever now so far. So, but that was really cool. I don't know, Jurek, if the Revelers wanted to tweet at you about your top 10 list, could they do that?
You sure can. You can find me at Actirak, which is spelled A-K-T-I-R-A-K.
And you can find me on Twitter at @early_Matt. And early is spelled E-A-R-L-E-Y, slightly different than the traditional spelling. You can find our podcast on Twitter at RetroRevelry. Can they email us, Drake?
Indeed, retrogamingrevelry@gmail.com.
And please do tweet us, email us, any game suggestions. What's your top 10? You know, we'd love to hear, like, send it to us. Let's see what it is. It's when you really
see how hard it is to make your top 10 list
of all time. Like, cause there's so many games. Like even earlier today, I was like, Drake, let's change this to the top 25.
Be recording for like 3 hours.
I know. I was just kidding. But like, it just seemed like there were so many games that need to be up there.
I know.
But,
They can't all make your top 10 though.
They can't all make the top 10. Nope. But, I don't know. I think that's about it. Did I miss anything? Oh, give us a rating on your favorite podcast app or Apple Podcasts or wherever. I don't know. Just rate us.
Whatever happens.
Even if you just turn on your computer and open Word and give us a couple stars and say, this is for Retro Gaming Revelry.
I'm sure we'll find it.
Yeah, that's a good rating. So I think that's about it though.
Indeed.
You want to take us out, Jurek?
I do. Until next week, game on, David Letterman.
Game on, David Letterman. Yes, David Letterman.
He always had the top 10
list. I know he did, and they were so funny. Like, David Letterman's a fucking amazing dude.